There's just 4 weeks to go in the Draft FPL 23-24 season and not many more points up for grabs to get where we want to be come game week 38. In this episode, we've got all the usual stuff ahead of game week 35, a big name to consider dropping, a big name to bring in. Let's get straight into it. This is episode 171, the Draft FC podcast. Welcome back to the Draft FC podcast, the podcast website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official Draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host for another game week preview, going over waiver options, hidden gems and some general Premier League chat ahead of game week 35. Now, 8 games down, 5 still to go in game week 34. It's been a bit of an odd game week in terms of how the pacing has felt, but results have largely been on trend. The sort of main one I don't think anyone would have predicted is Palace scoring 5 at home to West Ham. Not that we predict them scoring 5 against anyone. Definitely not something you'd have been adding to your betting slip. I'll be interested to see how they fare against Newcastle today. And then last night, Chelsea came off the back of a 6-0 win themselves to get a 5-0 walloping away at Arsenal to keep Arsenal, currently at least, in pole position for the title race. Now, there's a feature of Draft FC which I haven't mentioned at all during any of the podcasts. It hasn't been there all season, but I think it's worth pointing out. And certainly something that could be a bit more appealing to you as we start next season. And that is our refer a friend feature. So if you're already a member, you can refer a friend and get a little bit of money off yourself and also give them a little bit of a discount too for when they first sign up. So if you refer a friend, they will be able to get 3 months at 50% off, which is great. And for you, you will get £2 credit in your Draft FC account. So essentially, if you refer 2 friends, you'll have £4 in your account, which equates to 1 month free at Draft FC. So that credit will live in your account and come off your subscription fees. Crucially, there is no limit to how many friends you can refer. So if you were in an 11-team league and you referred all 10 of your other league rivals, I'm not sure you probably would do that, but if you did, you would get £20 in your Draft FC credit, which would equate to about 5 months free. And as our free trial code offer is now finished for the season, this is possibly the only way to get somebody in that you know with a bit of a discount, as well as I said, the kickback to you. Particularly if you know somebody else that plays in an engaged league themselves who might want to take advantage of the draft history feature, you could refer them now. They get a few months at 50% off. They're registered come game week 38 and through to the end of the season, and that draft history data will be safe for them forevermore. So because of the way the game week is panning out and the way there's still a lot of football still to play tonight and tomorrow ahead of the waiver deadline, and also not a lot of time, I'm going to try and keep this episode on the brief side. And also I will probably wait until later tonight to really look through the predicted lineups ahead of game week 35. So again, I won't chat through those in this episode either, but you can obviously keep an eye out on the website for them as they update. So I'm recording this episode on Wednesday the 24th of April, so any team news, injury developments or press conference information is up to date as of then, and of course, subject to change. Some of the players that I'll be discussing in this episode include Gabriel Martinelli, Callum Wilson, Abdoulaye Doucouré, plus a few more. So let's get straight into it. So let's kick things off with the top 100 leagues. Waiver watch the players coming in and out in your draft leagues last week. The players coming in were Senesi, Kluivert, Mitchell, Walker, Ake, and Munoz. The players leaving were Asia, Bradley, Rico Lewis, Stupinan, Kelleher, and Dunk. So, fairly see the trends there. Into fixtures. Now, two teams have two doubles remaining. That's Chelsea and Spurs. Not two clubs, really, that you do want to bank on at the moment. Chelsea, as I said, coming off the back of that hiding against Arsenal on Tuesday night. Their double next is Spurs at home, Villa away. I'd say it's a pretty guaranteed 3 points against Spurs and probably a guaranteed loss against Villa, seeing as how the top four race is shaping up. They then have another double in game week 37, which looks a little bit better than that. They go away to Brighton and away to Forest. But can we count on Chelsea for either of those games? The Brighton game could go either way, and we don't know what will be on the line for Forest in their penultimate game of the season either. The other remaining games in between are a home game against West Ham and a home game against Bournemouth for some more end-of-season, unpredictable mid-table action. Most Chelsea players saw a general decrease in their ownership last week. Given this double, I'm fairly confident that we'll see most of them with a bit of an upswing in their ownership this week. I'm not fussed by their defence at all in any shape or form. Don't see them keeping any clean sheets in their running. And really, aside from Palmer and Jackson, none of the supporting cast are that appealing to me. But I will discuss a few of the names because I know they're going to be coming up in conversation and players that you'll be looking at yourselves when looking at who's available. Now, Spurs are coming off the back of nearly 2 weeks off. Will that help or hinder them? We'll have to wait and see. But a double of Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, is about as tough a double as you could create on paper for Spurs. Given the need for points in the top four race, as I said, you can be sure Chelsea will get a victory somehow, and the North London derby feels like possibly the most mismatched in terms of form and ability that we've seen for many years. The follow-up trip is to Anfield, and then City at home in the first of the double in game week 37 means it doesn't look any brighter even for the games after that. They do finish off with games against Burnley and Sheffield United though, but as whether you're willing to hold some of those assets through the tough games to get to that is going to be up to you. I think the segment I did on Spurs a week or two ago where I was talking about dropping the majority of their players still holds true, and I'm not going to repeat myself this week. Since then, we've obviously heard about the loss of Udogie. He's going to be out for the rest of the season and most of the summer too, unfortunately, which means Ben Davies is likely going to be stepping in at left back. And so in consecutive sequential league games, he's going to have to keep out Cole Palmer, Bakayo Saka and Mo Salah, which doesn't bode well for him or the Spurs defence in general. Midfield isn't really functioning at the moment either. Spurs are limping towards fifth. You wouldn't put it past United or Newcastle even leapfrogging them, and Spurs ending up sixth or even seventh, especially given how tough some of this running is. Son remains a keep despite his poor form. There's only one who I'd really consider adding in as a new one to the conversation who I'll mention in the main segment. Given the nature of the other doubles in game week 37, I wouldn't bother looking that far ahead for now. Some of the other teams at doubling, Brighton, Newcastle and United. United are probably still ones to consider, but that's just because they've got Burnley at home this week, and even that feels like it could be a struggle for them. For the single game week teams this week, I like Palace away at Fulham, which, you know, might relieve some waiver headaches if you were thinking that you have to get rid of a whole load of your Palace players now. Newcastle at home to Sheffield United could be a bloodbath. Fancy Bournemouth at home to Brighton. And of course, all three teams who are in the title race, I think should be on track for 3 points at the weekend. So if you can find a way into their teams, happy days. Everton are another standout, but due to this ongoing double game week, many of their players have already been popular. So they've got Brentford at home this coming weekend, then follow that up with Luton away and Sheffield United at home in the next two. Then Arsenal away at the end, so we may be throwing them back then, but we can certainly hold on to our toffee wrappers for the time being. A few key injuries to mention. First, to Estupiñán, it was confirmed he's going to be out for the rest of the season. His ownership has really lingered at quite high levels, really, considering his patchy form and patchy minutes this season, but he's a must-drop if he's still lingering at the back of the bench. Teammate Evan Ferguson in the same boat. He's been confirmed out for the season. Been a very funny campaign for him, given how well he did at the back end of the season before. Lots of hopes for him. Lots of people bigging him up on draft day. Fairly decent draft position too, but again, he's another one that's going to have to move on. The other one that's a bit more annoying is Diogo Jota. Obviously, we were building him up for his return. The comeback points were there. He got a goal and an assist in the last game. Unfortunately, another injury, which is going to look to rule him out for a couple of weeks as it stands. That means the likely return for him in game week 37. And at this stage of the season, I don't think it's worth hanging on to him. Let's do a bit more elite chat. I got a bit of good feedback after adding that feature in the last episode. You know, as I said, it's not always easy to talk about the big names because once draft day is done, they are going to be locked up in most teams barring any trades. But at this point in the season, it really is time to be cutthroat. And I think that could apply to this player. Now, if you take away the name of this elite player and just look at his recent Premier League form, no starts in the last seven games, no attacking returns and nothing spectacular at all in the underlying numbers. Well done if you guessed it already. We're talking about Gabriel Martinelli. He was drafted 11th overall in pre-season, but there are currently 45 players ahead of him in terms of total FPL points for the season. Notably, Trossard, whose form has meant he's usurped Martinelli on that left wing spot, has just crept ahead of him in terms of overall FPL points as well and total attacking returns for the season. On paper, Arsenal have two fairly comfortable home games in their final four with away trips to Spurs and United, which also I don't think should be too much hassle for them. they're going to play their strongest and most informed team for each of those games now. And as it looks, I don't think Martinelli would be included in that. So for me, he has to be a drop. So let's get into the main picks. And we'll start with the Manchester City defence. And as I've said many times before, mentioning people on the pod does not equal an endorsement. Often I'm just discussing some players who I know have been popular and I know lots of people are talking about. City defenders seem to be popping up all over the place on the waiver planner, particularly in the last week or so. And interestingly, in said top 108 team leagues, Kyle Walker was the most waived in player last week. Now, we all love a shiny title contending defender, and Walker on the pitch has definitely continued to pass the eye test. He's looked like an absolute Rolls Royce this season. Pace is very much still there. But has that translated into him being a good FPL asset? Not really. Clean sheets in game weeks 1 and 2. Since then, he's only personally registered 4 clean sheets for the whole season. Ake was another popular pickup, and he only has 4 clean sheets for the entire season himself. Compare that to frontrunner William Saliba, who personally has 16 clean sheets on his CV for this season, and suddenly it makes the City defenders look distinctly average. If you throw in the fact we can't be sure they're even going to line up each week, you know, them exiting the Champions League means we probably expect a bit less rotation and probably a bit easier to predict who they're going to be throwing out each week, but still a very annoying amount of consolation goals that they're conceding. You know, that goal they conceded late against Luton, a prime example. Stones is another one who seems popular, but his perceived attacking prowess is not there. He's only translated into one attacking return in the league all season, added with the fact his legs are made of Weetabix, which for any viewers outside the UK who don't know what Weetabix is, it's a very fragile breakfast cereal. So yeah, generally the City defenders do not appeal to me at all, and I would happily let, if there are other players in your draft leagues who are looking to bring them in, you are going to be at an advantage. Let them take the City defenders with their sort of priority waiver picks and get some better players yourself. Into midfield, and a couple of Spurs players to mention. The player that I kind of angled towards in my fixture chat, the player who I think really should enter the conversation now, or enter the conversation again at least, is Richarlison. Now, between game week 16 and 25, he scored 9 goals at virtually a goal a game. We've seen a few minutes in the last few weeks, but it sounds like this little mini break for Spurs is what was going to allow him to really get back to 100% fitness. If you've watched any Spurs in the last couple of months, it doesn't take a lot. You can only watch it for 10 minutes and you can see how much he has been missed in terms of his hold-up play, his pressing, and obviously his finishing too, where he had that purple patch. If he is truly back fit, and it sounds like he will be, I can see him starting at least 4 of the last 6, could even be 5 of the last 6. I think all 6 might be a bit of a push. And he is a gamble that I would consider making this week, certainly over the likes of Timo Werner, whose ownership has been rightly creeping up. But I think for this run in and for these hard games, he is one of the players that I would really want. Now, brings me on to his teammate Brennan Johnson, who is no stranger to the pod and no stranger, no doubt, to your draft teams. He's become one of Spurs' most consistent performers in the latter half of the season. He hasn't tended to get many returns in the big games, it has to be said. He's got 1 assist away at City in game 14. Otherwise, the majority of his stuff has come at very much lesser teams. I've had Johnson in my own team for nearly 2 months now and kind of struggled to really find an excuse to get rid of him because he just kept performing. And then obviously with the doubles coming up too, just felt it was worth hanging on. I foresee a couple of rests amongst the remaining games, but otherwise I think his minutes are reasonably safe. Would be thoroughly unsurprised though if he just collects sort of ones and twos, FPL points that is, against the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and City. So don't expect massive performances from him. To say the reason why I'm kind of leaning, or would rather have Richarlison over Johnson, is because I feel in those big games where things are tight, I would expect Richarlison to come away with an attacking return over Johnson. Obviously it still boils down to whether Richarlison's actually on the pitch. So Johnson definitely the safer one to play, but if Richarlison is back fit and starts, definitely would rather have Richarlison. For Chelsea, as I said, the defenders don't appeal to me, the goalkeeper doesn't appeal to me, the midfielders don't appeal to me, Palmer's going to be picked up, Jackson's going to be picked up, so then we're looking at that little clutch of other attacking players around him, you know, Mudryk, Madeki, Sterling, some people have even thrown Enzo Fernandez into that mix, but he doesn't appeal to me. I'll say right off the bat, not Sterling, doesn't appeal to me whatsoever. There are plenty of Mudryks and Madekis in waiver piles. I think if it were up to me, they would stay exactly where they are Madeki has the most solid recent form in terms of starts and attacking return. So if you had to pick one, he would be the one that I would look at. Mudryk, again, his performances have maybe looked a little better than Madeki's recently. A couple of attacking returns in recent weeks, but his minutes have been a bit more up and down. So, you know, they're very much just an excuse to try and get away into the double game week. But I think there are tons of players on a single game week that if you ask me to compare, I'd probably say I'd rather have them over these Chelsea guys. And finally, a really good striker option to consider, and that's Callum Wilson for Newcastle. Very positive comments about his fitness and progress this week, coming off the back of a chest injury, which means he should have been able to maintain a decent level of cardiovascular fitness through the rehab process. And it sounds like we could see him in some capacity this weekend, just in time probably for Isak to pick up his obligatory injury. They seem to just tag team in and out of the physio room. Newcastle's fixtures are good. They still have enough injury problems elsewhere, but there are definitely some high scoring games on paper for them. Starting with Sheffield United at home this week, as I said, that could be a bloodbath. And the sort of game where even if I knew Wilson was going to get 20 minutes off the bench, I would probably start him over the majority of players in my squad at the moment. Ownership fell off an absolute cliff edge when he picked up that pectoral injury. And if memory serves, I think there were some reports at the time that suggested he could have been done for the season. So it's probably fair enough that a lot of managers dropped him back into the waivers. Most of the season, his ownership has been at 99.9%. So essentially, he's been universally owned. And in 10-team leagues, that has gone as low as 39% in Game Week 33. It's gone up a little bit. Ownership currently stands at 41%. But that's still a staggering amount of availability for a player of his calibre. You know, he's basically available in over half of 10-team leagues. And I think he should be an absolute no-brainer first waiver priority pick if you're in a league where he's available. A couple of hidden gems. Again, we've mentioned these guys recently. Maguire's ownership's at 8%. Hopefully he didn't use up his goal credit in the FA Cup game against Coventry. Guaranteed to start, remains a set-piece threat, but obviously the threat of a clean sheet doesn't seem very threatening at the moment. And the other one who's still in hidden gem territory is Dwight McNeil, a 10-pointer in their 2-0 win over Nottingham Forest. We've already discussed the fixtures for Everton, and he remains a very safe pair of hands for the upcoming game weeks. Now, on to the most hidden gem pick. So this is a player who's owned in less than 10% of 16-team leagues. I had a few options, actually. Maguire himself could have very much been in most hidden gem pick territory. His ownership is less than 10% in 16-team leagues. The other one I looked at was David Fofana. But the player, and again, a player I was very surprised to see in the most hidden gem category, is Adelaide Toure, who I mentioned him on the pod last week. And if I knew he was this low owned in 16-team leagues, he very much could have been the most hidden gem pick for that week. And I told you in that one that there wasn't really much to point at him other than a hope of him regaining his early season form. And sure enough, he goes and gets his first assist since game week 12. Now, he still has the Merseyside derby to go tonight, so there's still a chance for him to add to this game week's tally. Also still a chance he could get injured, so also we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But a home game against Brentford this coming weekend should present more opportunities for him and for Everton to score. They then play Luton and Sheffield United in the subsequent weeks, so may not need to be an in and out pickup and someone that you could have for about 3 weeks. So that is it for this episode. A reminder that the waiver deadline will be processed at the usual time of 11 a.m. on Friday morning ahead of the Saturday lunchtime kickoff between West Ham and Liverpool. Now, we've got a normal Saturday Sunday list of fixtures. There's no Friday night football, no Monday night football, 10 games over the weekend. And then Chelsea and Spurs is right at the end of the week on Thursday. Now, in game week 36, there is Friday night football. So less than 24 hours after that game finishes, which means the waiver deadline, I'm not entirely sure at the moment what the confirmed time for that will be. We'll find out in a couple of days. Will probably be immediately after the Chelsea and Spurs game finishes. So it's going to be around 10 or 11 p.m. UK time, which could end up being a very civilised time for the draft players. And I know there are many of you out there who watch and listen in the far-flung time zones. So for once, could be a nice waiver deadline for you in the morning or in the evening, rather than setting your alarms for 3 a.m. and, trying to quickly last minute get some moves in. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Thank you for lending us your ears. Make sure you are following or subscribed on whichever platform you're currently listening on so you don't miss out on any future episodes as they drop. And if your platform supports it, leaving us a little review will also be really kind and helpful in helping to spread the word that is Draft FC. And for everyone, the easiest way I would say to get hold of me is on Twitter or X. If you give us a follow at @draft_FC, you can either just at me on there or send me a direct message. And again, I'll usually be able to reply to everyone's individual questions and conundrums, lineup problems, trade problems before the deadline on Friday morning. So that's it for this episode. As I said, trying to keep it as brief as possible given the time constraints. Still a lot of football to go. Keep an eye on the predicted lineups page sort of tonight, tomorrow. By Thursday, they should all be nicely updated with my view to how people will line up for the weekend. Best of luck for the waivers. Best of luck for your head-to-head matchups. Hope you get as many points as you can. Not long left to claw those points in. And until next time, stay sure.